AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard, with European football once again top of the agenda. Rangers lose 9-1 on aggregate against Bruges, but Russell Martin keeps his job for now. The fallout from Celtic's own Champions League disappointment continues, with Adam Ida linked with a move away. And tonight it's over to Hibs and Aberdeen to try and salvage something from a miserable week on the continent. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me you have Ross McCormick and Gordon Dalziel.
Well, it certainly hasn't been a good time in Europe for both our top teams, Gordon. It started on Tuesday night with Celtic, a real disappointing result over there. Firm favourites over the two legs to go through into Champions League. Didn't happen. Out in penalties. Fans, once again, not happy with the lack of signings, with the board, with the manager, tactics and everything thrown in. And then roll on Wednesday night, an absolute disaster for the Rangers fans. Not having it. Rangers, absolutely a disgrace over there. 6-0, 9-1 in aggregate. Rangers fans not happy. And then we've got to look forward to a brilliant game on Sunday, Rangers v Celtic. But it's over to Aberdeen and Hibs tonight. And that's going to be difficult as well.
Whoever's come up with this fixture list is a genius. I think this is absolutely perfect timing for Sunday. But no, just what Gordon said there, the disappointment European. You just hope, for the sake of Scottish football, that one of the Aberdeen or Hibs can pull something out of the bag tonight. We need it.
It won't be perfect timing for one of them, let me tell you, and you'll find that out on Sunday afternoon. But for now, let's get stuck in on the phones. 0141-951-1025. Rangers fans, we've done this. We've done this time and time again already this season, and it's only the 28th of August. How are you feeling now? The club have intimated today that Russell Martin still has the backing of the board. Is there anybody out there that agrees with that sentiment? How far gone are you? How do you feel about him and the team and those that employ him, those that manage him? What about the specifics of last night, the goals that were conceded, the red card, the way it was all handled? We'll hear from Russell Martin. I'm sure you'll pick over his words, as you often do. It was Rangers' joint biggest ever European defeat over one leg and on aggregate as well. So talk to us. We obviously left you last night with just that possibility that maybe, you never know, it's football, Gordon Dalziel, and maybe something could happen. Rangers could pull it out the bag. Of course, we do still have Celtic's major disappointment in the background there as well. I don't think you'll get over that in one night. So again, 0141-951-1025. I think the difference last night, Gordon, is it's clearly a very different type. Celtic's is all about kind of, you know, they thought they were going to be in the Champions League. They wanted to be in it. The fallout from Rangers is not about them failing to make the Champions League. It's clearly about the way that it's happened and about how they got here this season with the form so far, the new manager. It just doesn't seem to be cutting it for, I'm now thinking, I don't know, 99% of the fans, maybe even more.
Yeah, fans are not having it. I've got to say, Gordon, after the first leg, I didn't give Rangers a hope. But the only positive I was looking for was to go over there, put in a good performance. I think the Rangers fans that travelled, the Rangers fans that watched it, would have probably accepted that, because they knew that Bruges was a bit, a step too far for them, especially at this time of the season, new players coming in, trying new systems, everything about it, new manager, never managed probably in that sort of a big game environment. So I think he could have got away with it. It's the manner, Gordon. The players, I thought, were an absolute disgrace. I thought the manager got his tactics, his team, if he's got tactics, because I don't understand them. And someone will need to come on this phone and tell me, and I've been saying it for the last few weeks, why a manager picks Max Aarons over James Tavernier is beyond me. But that's not his only one. Raskin, for instance, was his best. Well, he wasn't in the building, Rangers' best player last season, along with Dessers. I know Dessers was injured and you had to manage him. I totally get that. Raskin's not on the pitch. They were all over the place. Defensively, they are the biggest shambles I have seen for a Rangers team in a long, long time.
There is signing news imminent that looks like Bojan Miovski, you'll remember him from Aberdeen, looks like he will come in on a £2.5 million fee initially, rising to about four and a bit. Does that cheer you up any, Rangers fans, or are you still pretty down on last night? Let's find out. Let's take the temperature with Ian, who is on. Ian, how on earth would you sum up last night?
I don't know. It's difficult to get your head around what happened. I mean, I'll be honest. I mean, I ended up turning the game off. I went to make a cup of tea and come back in and sit down and enjoy the game, and we were 1-0 done, and it looked as if it wasn't for Butland. Even in the short time that I watched it, it could have been 3-4-5, and they've took their foot off the gas at Ibrox and there as well. This could have been 14-1 on aggregate, and that's no an exaggeration. That is that's what could have happened here. This could have been an absolute cricket score. And I just don't see, like, Gordon, what is this guy doing? I mean, honestly, I think he's trying to reinvent the wheel. He's trying to turn football into some kind of, what, he's trying to turn it into something it's not. It's a simple game to play. You know, you defend, you create, you try and score goals, but he's got nothing. He's got absolutely nothing. And as Gordon says, I just can't see his tactics. I think he's arrogant. He's so arrogant. And I knew it with that team last night. As soon as that team was read out and Northwell and Aarons were in it, I mean, I'm not just blaming they two, but I knew when they were in it and he's dropped Tav and his best midfielder, Raskin, that just, see, for me, that is absolute arrogance. I know he's got the right as a manager. He's bought the players. He's got to put his faith in them. But he took Aarons off against St Mirren and then he puts him in a Champions League qualifier. If you're not good enough to play against St Mirren, you can't be good enough to play against them. They've got to get rid of him. They have got to get rid of him. I mean, I'm dreading this game. Celtic are in the great shapes, and the fans know that, but they're better than us. And there's a chance that they could wipe the floor with us as well, honestly.
Let's at least start with the game, the performance, the things that happened last night, and I'm sure we'll bleed into the bigger picture very soon, Ross. How bad are we talking here? Because it's easy to kind of throw out dramatic language and, you know, everyone gets carried away, but could it have been any worse?
It could have been if it wasn't for Jack Butland.
Good point.
But yeah, it was woeful. It was surreal watching it. You're thinking, okay, 1-0, what was that, 31 minutes played? I'm thinking, right, just get in here half time, settle down a little bit, and then you blink and they're 5-5. I was like, wow, this is incredible. But it's no great, I'm not going to say it wasn't a great surprise, it was, but when you're playing Max Aarons instead of James Tavernier, and I think the left back as well, I know he's a young boy, but if you look at his career, he's had 12 appearances for Preston. He's been thrown into a Champions League qualifier worth £40 million. It's not going to end well. And then you go into the midfield and you've got Raskin's not playing, and I know Diamandi's not been great this year. Lyle Cameron's come in. He's worked hard, he's showed energy and stuff, but for me, for this kind of game, experience is key. You've got to have Raskin in the middle of the park.
You'll never know, Gordon, what the score could have been if Rangers keep 11 on, and I think clearly conceding early is a real killer, but if we focus on that red card, again, you're trying not to be like over the top and exaggerating. It's dead easy to say that's the worst thing I've ever seen, but seriously, can you remember any red cards much worse than that, just in terms of the mess you get yourself in the first place, the decision making? Like, it just seems baffling on so many levels.
Forget that, Gordon. See, if you're analysing that the next day and you're sitting in a team meeting, the one question the manager will ask Max Aarons, why are you even there? Why is he even in that position?
Does John Souter not sort of take a step forward? Yeah, and
he's
then
got to be on the cover, John Souter. Yeah. I said that.
Right. The two centre halves for Rangers just now are terrible. Right? I don't know what's happened to Souter. I was a massive fan of Souter. I don't know if it's a partnership or whatever. They are all over the place. They're terrible. You would love to play against them. You score all day. Max Aarons should never be there. And when he gets his cell in that position, he knows one thing is, if I'm going to do what I'm going to do here, I'm a red card, I'm off. So it's guaranteed, and he will know that right away. Listen, I've sat here and I've tried to give this guy the benefit of doubt. I thought, right, look, he's come up from England, Scottish football, big club like Rangers, takes time to settle in, right? They tried him at left back. He was terrible. They put him into his natural position at right back. I think he's worse, right? And you've got your captain with the numbers and everything, the experience, sitting on the bench. That doesn't make sense to me. The thing about Rangers for me last night, Gordon, wasn't tactics. They can't even do the basics. People were just one-twoing them. They were running off them. They weren't matching runners. They had no desire. I watched the lad in the right-hand side going down the wing, and I'm watching the midfield of Rangers Football Club and a European game away from home, and every one of them are jogging. No desire. The first goal comes from Ant-Man, drops his runner, doesn't even have the desire after a few minutes to go and match the run. You know, that's basic football. That's nothing to do with tactics. That's going, do your job. If he's going to make a run, you've got to go and match them. Then people say, oh, the left back should be talking to the two centre-halves. The two centre-halves should be their body position to stop that ball getting in the back of the net and knowing where the centre-forward. That's basic football, defending. They're not doing it. They're all over the place.
Ian, let's cut straight to the chase. You say the manager has to go. It looks like you're not getting your wish. Certainly now he still has the backing of those above him at Ibrox. You think that's a big mistake?
Yeah, it depends on how determined they are to keep him. If they're as arrogant as him, then we're in real trouble. Because if they're going to back him, what do they do if Rangers get beat on Sunday with Celtic? I mean, if Rangers get beat with 3 or 4 on Sunday, how do they turn around and say after a few days, oh, that's it, he's sacked after? I think they're making a rod for their own back now, because everybody's against them. Maybe it was about 80%, now it's kept up to 90%, now there's 100%. I don't know anybody that wants Hing Me there, that wants Russell Martin there. And I think he's honestly delusional that he thinks he's going to get this right way, whatever system or tactics he's trying to play. And I don't know, God's honest, I don't know how bad the players are that we're talking about, because he's turned every player that's went into Rangers, they've maybe started off no bad and he's made them worse. I don't know what he's trying to tell them today. I honestly don't, but he's sucked the life right out of them. That's what he's done.
Yeah, I mean, look, people might not believe this, but if I actually don't like to turn to you guys and just say, you know, should manager X be sacked, until I feel like it's really a legitimate conversation. I mean, even now, it's the 28th of August, guys, been in about 80 odd days, something still doesn't feel right about it. However, you then can't go too far the other way. If the away fans, who are your most loyal band of travelling supporters, are chanting Martin, could you please depart politely, if there is a banner waiting on the team coming back from Belgium on the gates of Ibrox, if the Rangers fans advisory board are issuing statements today, all calling for the manager to go, I do feel legitimately it's time for you two to say, would you, if you were the decision maker, would you make that call? Would you get rid of Russell Martin now?
I'm going to start by saying I was happy he got the job. I felt as if that's what Rangers needed, a certain type of manager who had an identity, a style of play. But to answer your question, Gordon, yeah, I would pull the trigger now.
I'm not just putting all the blame on him. I think the recruitment team have got to take a bit of responsibility here. The Rangers team are probably worse now than they were last year. I've got to say that. They're worse now than what they were last year. The recruitment has been very, very poor. Some of these players aren't good enough. Now, you can't deny that the board have certainly backed him. What is it? Probably 9-10 of his own signings. I know Cameron was there, Cortes was in the building as well. I think he's trying to put everybody in there that he's signed. He wants to put his own stamp on the team. He's all over the place, Gordon. He really is. And the problem you've got, and we've been to clubs like Rangers and you know Celtic, see the minute the majority, and it's a massive majority, and I'll be very surprised if we hear him down here tonight. We might saying that he's got their support, but the majority of Rangers fans now want rid of him, and that's your problem.
Let's thank Ian and bring in Graham. What's your take on it, Graham?
Absolutely disgusted with it, mate. He's got to go. Take the three lone players at the back with him. The young kid at 19, he was brought in. He should be eased in, coming in for a wee cup game. But last night, defensively, Suter, a great defender, they say. Going to keep Rangers at a close, mate. And Martin, he should be down the road to now and take all his signings with him. Because that was a disgrace. Well, no, I'd like to have him. Like somebody from Radio Clyde that go to the press conference, ask him, what improvement do you see, Russell? And why do you play Ahrens and something ahead of Raskin and Tavernier? What has he seen in training or any game that he said, that's a better choice for me? Get him down the road, take all his players with him. Because that is I've been following Rangers for 62 years, mate, and I've never seen anything like that in my life. I was at Berwick when they got beat 1-0. That was supposed to be a disaster. Last night was a disaster, mate. That was nothing compared to last night. Sick of them.
See on Nicholas Raskin, I think it's quite obvious he keeps alluding sort of as if he's the one that's maybe not committed. Maybe he's the one that maybe, you know, looking. Remember after the Motherwell game, then he was the one that got dropped. He said, was it in the build up to this game that, you know, there are still doubts essentially over his future. He's left out again last night, comes on. I actually didn't get the chance to look and make sure this was true, but I'm sure I saw, did someone say his dad is ranting about it on Facebook or something?
Right?
Anyway, we'll leave that to one side for now. What did you make of Russell Martin after the game? That stuff about, you know, players are maybe distracted and not. He needs everyone to be all in. Eight of the team last night were his new signings.
I think he's talking nonsense. I think he's getting into Clermont territory here. I think people are switching off with him. Look, I'm not against. I don't want him to lose their job, Gordon. I'm not here to say that. But Rangers fans are paying their hard-earned cash. They want their club to be successful. It is still early. I totally take that on board. But I'm looking at this team. I'm looking at his signings. I'm looking at his decisions. To me, looking from the outside, I think that Tavernier and guys like Raskin have got a big say in the dressing room, right? I think he wants him out. I think he wants rid of them. Now, I think the reason being, because the big games that are coming up, he seems to leave his captain out. He left Raskin out last night. He's talking about trying to get a hold of the game early on. Rothwell can't get about the park. He's not got the legs to get about the park. Raskin's got at least the energy and everything to get about there. Mm-hmm. You look at his defence. His defence is shocking. That I keep going back to Aaron's. I don't know what end of season this got, boy. He maybe could back down to England and have a good career. Scottish football's not for him. He's all over the place. And even last night, I think he must have sighed the biggest relief in the world when he'd seen that red card. I'm out of here. Right, on you go, lads. It's up to yous now. The two centre-halves are dreadful. They're dreadful. Really are. And I was very much for John Suter because I like John Suter, but he looks as bad as the other centre-half. And the young left back, I don't think he was the worst ever, but he gets so exposed last night when he went down to 10 men. And they were coming down that side. They just used the width of the park. But the one thing I'll get back to, I watched it, and the rest of the middle of the park were jogging about like it was a Sunday league game. And for a Rangers fan that are over there and watching tell, that's not acceptable. It's not, and this is why the manager comes under increased pressure.
Do you think particularly those two, when we go Tavernier and Raskin, Ross, you've got Raskin, who widely considered Rangers' best player last season, and Tavernier, like, although he splits opinion, you still sort of know what you're getting. There's a guy who does contribute in a meaningful way with the numbers and the experience and all that stuff. if you're going to leave them out, which you're more than entitled to do, this guy's a new manager, he's supposed to be coming in, he's supposed to put his own stamp on things, but if you leave those two out, the players that replace them need to at least be close to being as good as those, surely.
And also, don't then come out after the game and patronise him. That's what it sounds like to me, that he's patronising Tavernier, yeah. Singling him out, how he speaks so well after the game in the change room and all the rest of it. That was, you need them characters on. I don't understand how he can't see it. But
why do you think? Why do you think he see? Russell Martin's a clever guy, right?
He's trying to be too clever,
right? But he's come out and he's done that interview and highlighted Tavernier and everything because he knows he needs to get back to them on Sunday, right? He's left the two out. They're big characters probably in that dressing room. Tavernier's been in there with so many managers, so all of a sudden he's thinking, I need to get back to him, so I'm going to boost him up a little bit. Listen, players can see right through that.
Okay, thank you, Graham. Keep the calls coming. We'll speak to you next.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Ross McCormick and Gordon Dalziel are here. Joe has joined them on the line. Sum up your feelings, Joe. I don't suppose you've had a good 20 hours or so.
Well, not so much a good 20 hours. It's been a terrible 8 weeks. Terrible 8 weeks. I think last night was expected. First of all, good evening, panel. Last night was expected, although not the amount that we did concede. But Bruges are obviously a better team than us, going by what we've seen last week at Ibrox. I was there, and they destroyed us in that first 19 minutes. Now, Russell Martin, I just listened to the start of the programme, Gordon saying about how Max Aaron's now. James Tavernier, I've been on this show before criticising James Tavernier, but James Tavernier now needs to play before Max Aarons. It's as simple as that. Russell Martin nailing his colours to the wall with Joe Rothwell and Max Aarons, I don't think he's smart enough to realise that these two lads might end up costing him his job because they're not good enough to be Rangers players. Now, his comments after the game at TNT Sports, at the interview after the game, was pure and utter arrogance as far as I'm concerned. He basically said, well, yeah, it was a poor result, blah, blah, blah. I apologise to the fans, but I've already spoke to Kevin and Patrick and they're all right about it. So that's okay then, is it? I mean, that travelling support, we had one of the worst results in history in the champions in European football for this club. It could have been more because, let's face it, Bruges were playing with us. They could have absolutely smashed us more than they actually did. Now, he then also says after the game, after the transfer window, there'll be a bit more harmony, etc. So what's happening Monday? So what's happening on Tuesday then? So is he hoping that Raskin, Tavernier, Dio Mandy, etc. leave and then he's going to have harmony? What is he actually doing? I mean, again, I heard Gordon saying earlier on about his tactics. What tactics? You're, as a Rangers fan, you're watching these games and you're thinking, what is this guy doing? What is he doing? And then after the game, he's gone down the Philip Clement road. I mean, Philip Clement dined out for months in the fact that the amount of players that we had leave in that summer, like five or six first-team regulars, like John Lundstrom, etc. Philip Clement dined out in that for months. Russell Martin has been back more than any other manager, I would say, in the last 12 or 13 years. A lot of these players he's bringing in are his. Okay, some of them may be the club signings. But these guys are not good enough. They're not good enough to be Rangers players. It takes a bigger man to turn around and say, you know what, I've made a mistake here, this isn't working. Joe Rothwell, Max Aarons, etc. are going to cost this guy his job, and he doesn't realise that. Max Aarons should not be anywhere near a Rangers first team. That last night was a disgrace. The back four as a unit are a disgrace. Jack Butland again saves the jerseys for it being actually more. The Rangers fans are sick to death of this. They're sick to death of this. They're sick to death of his nonsense after the game. I mean, it was almost like a child. Oh, well, it's all right. I've spoke to my mum and dad and they're saying it's okay, so we just continue. We don't continue. It's not good enough. It's not good enough. And it's time for Russell Martin to be either shown the door or have the decency to resign and go back down the road.
See, Joe touches on there. I was surprised about the Harmony one as well. I was wondering what he was talking about that. It sounded there's a little bit of a rift in that dressing room. He needs to get one or two out, and that's why I pointed to guys like Tavernier. Diamandé, for instance, last night wasn't involved until for the starting 11. Sorry,
but that's the point, isn't it? So like, if you go through the starting 11, right? So what of the players who were there previously? Jack Butland. I'm not saying goalies can't be disruptive, but he's the goalie. Do you know what I mean? Mm. Eaton, by the way, he played brilliantly last night, it's not his fault, right? Okay, so let's eliminate him. John Souter, yes, there before. Does John Souter strike you as some sort of hellraiser type who's going to disrupt things, or is that Ibeen off the balls disruptive to the group? I'm not really sure. And then the rest, you know, Aarons, Giga, Magoma, Rothwell, Asgard, all signed. Lyle Cameron's delighted to be there, yeah. I'm sure. Antman, Gassam, again, Danilo, I don't know, so...
There's no strong characters in that team.
So Russell Martin, I'm sure, would be able to explain it in his mind, and maybe as the people, if he's talking about Raskins and Diamandé's and those coming off the bench, but they weren't in the team. It feels like there must be loads of managers right now all across the world dealing with some players who are not quite sure if they're staying, not quite sure if they're going, might be a bit distracted. Is that enough of an excuse to be as bad as they are.
No, but you've got to be a good man manager. You've got to handle that situation in that dressing room until you get whether you want or the players want, until you get them out the door. So you, as a manager, that's part of your job to handle it. That's called man managing. Everybody talks about tactics, right? And style of play. I'm with every Rangers fan. His tactics, I don't know what he's doing. His style of play, I've still to find out what he's trying to achieve.
And see, to be fair, right, on last night, the tactics are probably going to go out the window a bit when you're 1-0 down, a man down, away from home, against a team that are better than you.
But my gripe's quite simple. Forget the tactics and forget the style of play. There's basics to football, as a football player. And it's basically, if a guy kicks the ball by you, you go and chase him. If a guy tries to play a 1-2, you try and match a run. If you're on the defence, you're sprinting back into your position to get into your shape, whatever it may be. It's basic, basic football. And I looked at the Rangers players last night. They didn't even have that. So before Russell Martin talks about tactics and talks about style of play, if you've not even got the neutral thing of football, as in go out there and make sure... You know what you're doing with 1-2s, running, chasing, matching runners, going and winning your headers, the centre-halves. The balls were coming in there. I was never confident of the two centre-halves going and winning the ball. I really wasn't. Jack Butland saved Rangers for the biggest doing they'll ever have. I think the captain of Bruges came out with his flip-flops in the second half. It was that easy for him. He was actually taking the mickey at times in the box. It's an absolute disgrace for Rangers fans.
Joe says he's asked his mum and dad and everything's okay. That was a nice way of putting it from Joe there.
What Russell Martin's saying there in terms of Harmony is there's certain players at that club who obviously want to leave the club. Come the end of the transfer window, they're there, they're stuck. He's hoping that they're going to toe the line. But the problem that he's got is when it gets to that point, he's probably already lost these players. Because he's taking them out of the team, he's putting them back in, he's outing them in the press. There's no guarantees that they're going to all of a sudden become this happy bunch or whatever. What is he going to... Is he taking them out paintballing on Monday night or what?
Go-karting or paintballing usually, isn't it? Those two.
Yeah. Well, it's not a night out anymore, is it? They're not allowed to do that.
Not on your day. I mean, Joe, the club have sort of intimated today, I mean, not publicly as such, but it's come out, if you like, that they are sticking by him, essentially, for now. What do you make of that decision?
I think it's a disgrace. And the fans will start voting with their feet. I've already got several mates that are season ticket holders that I spoke to a few of them last night and this morning said they're not going on Sunday. No, I will go. I will always go. And like I say, I've said before, I mean, I've been through the third division and watched all that nonsense as well. I'll go. I'll always go. But you're going to have fans voting with their feet who are just not going to go and they're not going to put up with this anymore. We've been through far too much in the last 12, 13 years, and it looks as if we've sorted out the ownership, and you'd like to think things behind the scenes are getting better, but it takes, if they would just be honest with ourselves and say, listen, we've made a wee mistake here, let's not carry this on any longer. Let's do something now to resolve it. But they're not going to do that because they're going to stick with him because he thinks he's that arrogant that he thinks he's going to fix this. And as long as he's got the backing for Kevin Fairwell and Patrick Stewart, he's going to carry on regardless, thinking he's going to fix this. And we all know that he's not unless he changes his tactics and his personnel. Reach sticks out an olive branch to whoever. I mean, there's all sorts of stories about who he's fell out with, etc., etc. He needs to start making peace with whoever he's fell out with. Go to James Tavernier and say, listen, I'm very, very sorry. We brought in Max Ahrens. We thought he was better than you. Obviously, he's not. You're back in. Max Ahrens is not a Rangers player. And then the wee boy playing left back, we're asking far too much of him. I mean, this is a guy that's played 12 games. And you bring him up to Glasgow and you're saying, right, okay, you're Rangers left back. It's not good enough. It's not good enough. It is not good enough in the slightest.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you saw it, Gordon. The Rangers fan advisory board issued a statement today talking about the anger and frustration, unacceptable results. It's clear to see he's failing to build a team we'd recognise as authentic, lacks organisation, physicality, hunger, desire. It's a stark contrast to the philosophy we were promised. Irrespective of the result on Sunday, it's clear the manager should be replaced as a matter of urgency before our justified anger gives way to apathy. We appreciate the size of the task, etc., etc., but no credible signs of change. We appreciate change required, but the board must commit to a new manager who understands and accepts the standards that have been set in the past and can deliver on them. Like I said, that, a banner outside.
Mm-hmm.
Social media can be an absolute madhouse. So, but add that to the mix, it just feels like everywhere you look. Have you ever seen negativity like this so early on in a managerial role?
No, it's incredible. Usually you get a split. You'd probably get a 50-50 saying, look, we've never got to go through in the Champions League. We're not at that stage. We're rebuilding. The manager's brought in new players. Give them time, whatever. I think the Rangers fans have seen enough already. And they're telling us tonight. You see the banners, you hear the Rangers fans last night, everything about it, people talking about, I'm not going back until he's replaced. There's a massive pressure now on the board, but the problem that the board have now got is they've backed this guy to the hilt. Let's be honest about it, right? They've gave him a lot of players that Rangers just now are stuck with, right? They're stuck with. So for a new manager to come in, he's going to look at a lot of these players and think, do you know what? They're not good enough to go the next step with me. Because I totally agree, and I hate picking individuals. Max Ahrens ain't good enough to be a Rangers football player, and he never will. So all of a sudden, you've got a problem with him because you've got him up on loan. You're looking at a young left back. I totally agree. He should have been bedded in.
He's probably not high on the problem list, is he?
You look at the two centre-halves. Now, that tells you, have a look at the goals Rangers and the chances they're conceding. We get back to it. Rangers, the man of the match last night was Jack Butland. It says it all. You've got defenders there that can't defend. You've got midfield players that, for me, one or two of them have no desire to go and chase and work and do their shift. You look up the forward line, they're in and out. Antman's probably first game was his best game when he didn't even know the tactics, didn't know the club, didn't know anything about it. They threw him out in the park and says, go and play. And he was absolutely sensational that night. Apart from that, he's done absolutely nothing.
What does it look like though, Gordon? If they do pull the trigger and get rid of him, do they go back to Barry and the boys and say, look, we're really sorry, we didn't think you were good enough 12 weeks ago?
I think you two could be next.
Yeah.
So far down the list of ex-players they're going.
I don't think, I know people are,
they get through this game on Sunday, it's an international break,
I
buy themselves time.
I hear Rangers clamming for Steven Gerrard again, and I get that because he won that famous title to stop Celtic, but I don't know where they're going to go.
Keep the calls coming, some passionate stuff from Joe. Let me tell you about this before we move on.
The Cash for Kids Sports Challenge.
Right, we're on a bit of a mission here and we're setting you a challenge, the Cash for Kids Sports Challenge to be specific. We're raising money to help give all children across Glasgow, the West and Ayrshire the chance to get involved in their favourite sport. For children in low income families or those with additional needs, access to play sport that some of us take for granted can be really quite difficult, and obviously that comes with great benefits in terms of various aspects of the life, obviously the health and well-being side of it as well, breaking down barriers. We want to make sure every child can get involved. So get your local sports team, group, club, whatever it may be, get them involved, sign up to take part in this. So what you do is you fundraise for a month, do whatever you like, and after that, Cash for Kids then grants back to you 100% of the money you've raised. Also, there's then extra funding worth thousands of pounds for those who manage to raise the most. So if you want to find out a bit more, and sign up at Clyde1.com.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Ross McCormick and Gordon Diehl are here. Jordan has been hanging on the line for ages. Does that mean you've calmed down while you've been hanging on, Jordan, or are you as annoyed as ever?
No, I'm still as annoyed as ever.
Right, go on then.
So basically, every other caller before me has made exactly the point that not the point I wanted to make, but I agree everything with what they say. But I'm beginning to think we're maybe part of some social experiment here to see how far we can be pushed and see what we can put up with. I mean, first we had Beale, then we had Clement. I mean, I think Russell Martin took lessons from both Beale and Clement on how to talk utter rubbish in post-match press conferences, because it's getting ludicrous now. Gordon, you're right. He's going down the Clement path. What are you saying after matches about harmony and commitment? You know who caused all that? Him. He caused the no commitment. He's caused the harmony issue. He is the problem. The root of the issue is Russell Martin. It's not Tavernier, Raskin. If you look at the tactics, I mean, he couldn't spell tactics at the moment. It's getting ridiculous. I don't know how much more we can put up with this. If Bruges' manager was not his friend, right, we would have got tanned last night. He took his foot off the gas, both at Ibrox and last night. He was hugging Russell Martin at the end tell. You could see he was so apologetic. Oh, sorry, this has happened. You could tell he took his foot off the gas. He did not want to humiliate his friend. See, if that Sunday, Brendan Rodgers puts his foot right on the accelerator 10 times harder, and they will do what happened to us last night even worse.
Not a very good friend. He could have stopped at 3.
Took a few.
The
big hitters.
And then said, look, I don't want to humiliate you. Yeah, I don't know about that, Gordon.
No,
but,
I mean, you
can hear the strength of Jordan's
feeling. I'm with Jordan. I did think that they just went into, you know, cruise control. You've seen a few times in the box, the captain, he was brilliant. Instead of shooting, he would just take an extra touch. You didn't want to. It was just too easy for them, Gordon. If it wasn't for Jack Butland last night, and if Bruges had kept the pedal down to the floor, that could have been double figures. Let's not be kidded here. Rangers were all over the place. I know you can talk about, well, they went down to 10 men early, but you can still regroup, you can still make it difficult, you can get, you know, everything organised, a bit of organisation from the back to the middle of the park, and just try and work as hard as you can, defend the crosses when they come in. You've got 2 6-foot plus centre half. Rangers were all over the place, and I keep getting back to the basic stuff. They didn't even match runners. That was the biggest problem for me. When you've got a football player that's just allowing people to run off them, you look at the goal that Kassam, right? He's just standing watching that. You know, that's unforgivable before you even get into Russell Martin and how he set the team up, the style of play and his tactics and everything. Basics, and the Rangers fans are seeing right through this, and I totally agree. I think his press conferences are getting worse and worse now.
Yeah, listen, I think the same thing happened in the first leg, if I'm honest. Go 3-0 up and try and preserve a wee bit of energy. That could have been anything as well, but no, I think it has gone a little bit too far now. I think it is irretrievable for him.
What about that other stuff though? Because we all on one hand say you can't keep sacking managers. You've outlined the real difficulty of giving a manager a full pre-season to work on a specific style. I know it's not working yet, etc. And bring all these new players in. Can you seriously rip that up at this stage?
Listen, sometimes it's okay for someone to hold their hands up and go, do you know what, we made a mistake. And I think the longer they leave it, the harder it gets to bring the fans back on board. Whereas I think if they were to do it soon enough and say, look, we made a mistake, it was the wrong appointment, then I think, you know, a lot of the fans would not be okay with it. That's the wrong that's the wrong terminology. But what I mean is they can go right, okay, fair enough.
I don't, I think
if he's in play, we'll probably get more into this tomorrow and on Saturday, but just quickly, because I do want to bring Jimmy in as well. If he's surviving now, clearly, would he survive defeat on Sunday as well?
No.
So, so what sort of vote of confidence is this then? Do you think they would change their mind if they lost on Sunday?
I think they're gambling with the fact that, that you know, Celtic,
they might get something.
They're not in great forms. Rangers are at home as well. It's too near the from now until Sunday. May as well just go with it. If he loses on Sunday, if he loses on Sunday, Gordon, there's absolutely no way back for Russell Mann.
And if they win?
They'll probably give him another couple of weeks. Listen, they've done it. I know it's a different board now. Rangers tend to do this. Clement was the same, right? He loses and you think he's out the door. He gets a wee result. They give him a couple of weeks. Everybody knew it was coming to a deadline.
Thank you, Jordan. Let's squeeze Jimmy in as well. Jimmy, take it away.
How you doing, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I don't know if you remember, maybe not. I was on before the season even started, talking about the preparation, the lack of games that we were playing, two games at Ibrox, and all the rest was quite closed doors. And I said at that time, Gordon, that I didn't think that Russell Martin was a man for the job, so I'm not jumping on the bandwagon. But at that time when I say that, there was a lot of people on different forums saying I wasn't a real Rangers fan, and no, you need to support the team. I can understand some saying that. But I think, again, I mean, I told you so, is it the same? Russell Martin's certainly not the man for the job. His tactics are absolutely rubbish. If there's been faults with players, and I think that looks as if there has been, then something's got to be done. Out of the 10 players that he's brought in, right, you know, I would maybe give one pass mark, and that would be Gassam in various games. The rest are absolute. No, I'm not going to use it. But his time's come. I don't care if Celtic, we beat Celtic 6-0 on Sunday. I'm going to have my seat be empty as my protest, and I've only been back until Russell Martin was removed. The board must think that we're all silly, and it's no happening for the Lotties. And the various forums that you look on are, I listen to like Clyde and other four lads of a dream, etc. Everybody's in the same frame of mind. Russell Martin must go. They must go now.
So Sunday morning comes, you start getting that feeling of the big game inside you, Jimmy. You're not tempted to go along. Maybe Rangers win it. You can't see any of this.
No, I've made other plans for Sunday. I'm not going to be near it. It's, for me, it's poisonous. I just feel that I'm going to enjoy it. I turned the game off at 2-0 last night, then I turned it on for the second half. I wish I hadn't. And it was absolute rubbish to watch. And Rangers are playing some very, very poor football. And Russell Martin's to blame for that. Look, Southampton, it was a manager of Southampton, a very, very, very small club in England. No matter if he took them into the Premiership, but they sacked him when they saw what kind of football that he played. And he was absolutely rubbish down there. Steven Gerrard, I would take Steven Gerrard back in a minute. And why go to Barry Ferguson? Barry Ferguson would probably give you the finger and tell you, you weren't interested at that time, so why should I bother this time? So for me, Sunday, I'm not bothering about it on Sunday. And soon we'll see again, Jimmy Fiokar, he's not a real Rangers fan. Well, I am, but I'm disgusted with what I've been watching. I think it's all came up to Roosh now, Gordon, and it's time for him to go.
Thank you, Jimmy. Appreciate your time. We're on Twitter as well. Loads of stuff coming in here. Craig says it's not just Martin. Stewart and Thelwell's position should be called into question. Martin won't take us forward. He's out his depth. Stewart pushed hard on his appointment. Recruitment's been abysmal. Big Mo says that result was worse than progress all those years ago on a game-to-game basis. We're getting worse. He needs to go. Max Ahrens, the red card was from a player who doesn't want to be here. Wow, some strong feelings coming in on the phones and on social media. Let's take a breath for some comic relief, because that's what it is when you two get quizzing. Let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time. Get your calls in 01419511025 and the lines close at 7.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Ross McCormick are here. It has been quite something on the phone lines. They are so busy, everyone who comes through absolutely furious with what they witnessed in Bruges last night. If you want to add to that, disagree with some of it, please do feel free. 01419511025. Normally we would very much still be going over Celtic's own European disaster the other night, because we're only 2 days on from that. So if you have any thoughts there, Celtic fans, we'd love to hear them as well. And hopefully, up against it, but hopefully a better outcome for Hibs and Aberdeen this evening. But let's play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, Beat the Pundit time. We've got Gordon and Ross standing by. Sean is on the line. How are you, Sean?
Going good, and I hope I won.
Hopefully, Sean, because nobody yet
Nobody's
won and taken up the option of the new Beat the Pundit coin.
What would you take up, Sean? What would you?
The sign ball or the coin, Sean?
Sign ball.
Ah, Sean, have you seen the Beat the Pundit?
I'm trying to punt the coins. I don't think people. Do you watch on YouTube, Sean?
Aye, YouTube and Twitter.
It's right in the desk
here. I feel
here.
Like people not realising just how good the coins are.
Mate, all day long, if MD's listening and they happen to win by a fluke, take
that's
the,
a collector's item, isn't it?
I feel as if I win case. Tonight, I deserve one of them.
No, you don't.
But it's in the wee case thing. It's lovely.
Right,
look
on
at
the mantelpiece. Well, listen. It's Sean's choice, but it has to win first. If it is the blue side of the coin, it'll be Ross. The red side, it'll be Gordon. And it is Gordon up against Sean. From
that's
Alba, right. Are you okay with that?
Yeah, mate.
Oh, are you comfortable now, are you? In good form?
I'm two out of two.
Oh, great. Not got much to go on there, Sean. Right, we'll give him something else to listen to. You, Sean, will have 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can. Pass if you don't know the answer. And let's see if we can get a victory and a sign ball on its way to Alba. You fancy it?
Aye.
Right, 30 seconds on the clock. And your time starts now. Russell Martin started his managerial career at which club?
Swansea.
In which city are Hibs playing tonight?
Warsaw.
Who did Paolo Di Canio join after leaving Celtic?
West Ham.
Bojan Miovski looks set to sign from Rangers from where?
Girona.
Hamilton Accies are currently playing their home games at which stadium?
Pass.
Which team fell out of the SPFL after defeat to East Kilbride last season?
Pass.
The Albert Bartlett Stadium is the home of which SPFL side?
No idea. I'll go for, I don't even know, Dunfermline.
Okay, let's bring back Gordon.
That was quick. I thought that was very quick.
Oh, it's quick now, is it?
Yeah.
It's the first time any of the pundits have ever said that.
I hope Sean is a wee bit upset with that timing. I never even get any of my song there.
What song was it?
What a feel. Oh, I know, Richie. Dancing on the ceiling.
Jeez, right, anyway, question one starting now. Russell Martin started his managerial career
MK
at which
Dons.
Club? In which city are Hibs playing tonight?
Warsaw.
Who did Paolo Di Canio join after leaving Celtic?
Oh, West Ham.
Bojan Miovski looks set to sign for Rangers from
Girona.
Where? Hamilton Accies currently play their home games at which stadium?
Broadwood.
Which team fell out of the SPFL after defeat to East Kilbride last season?
Albion Rovers, no, my wasn't.
The Albert Bartlett Stadium is home of which SPFL side?
The what?
He always does this to buy himself.
I didn't hear you there.
The Albert Experience. Bartlett. Quick, 3, 2.
No idea.
One. Okay. Sean, have you done enough?
Oh, I'm pretty sure it's Bonnie Rigg and Broadwood, but I think we got the same, I think.
Okay, let's go through them and find out. Russell Martin started at MK Dons, I'm afraid, Russell, so he's 1-0 up. He then went on, obviously, Swansea, Southampton. Hibs are playing in Warsaw. You both got it, so Gordon stays one in front. You both went West Ham for Paolo Di Canio.
Sheffield Wednesday,
remember?
Pushing the ref.
Yeah.
It was the ref's name. There you go, wee bonus point for you.
Tyler. No idea. No,
Hugh Keevans.
A few people want to push him. Not Paul Alcock.
I should have remembered that. Paul.
Bojan Miovski looks set to sign for Rangers from where? It's Girona. You both got it. So Gordon stays in front. Hamilton Accies play at Broadwood. Gordon stretches his lead. Sean, you knew it was Bonnie Rigg Rose, but only after the event. Gordon got that wrong. And none of you knew that Albert Bartlett Stadium.
Where is that?
Airdrie, if it even is still called that. These stadiums change their names so often. Find it hard to keep up.
I should have got that. That was a victory for the Dazzler.
It was a victory for the Dazzler.
Oh, Sean, I was desperate for you to get a ball as well. But you're unfortunate.
Sean, who's your team?
Celtic.
Right, go on then. What did you make of the other night?
I just wanted to cry, yeah. It was dreadful. Everything. Midfield, wings, attack, anything, everything. Dreadful.
If we're being really basic about it, because things are never this simple, but if we are, everyone seems to be simplifying it and splitting it into a couple of core arguments, and the main one is Brendan Rodgers not backed enough, team hasn't signed enough players, etc. Is that one you go on, or have you got a different take?
I'm always on the Brendan Rodgers side, but I feel like Callum McGregor in these type of European games now is just, it's so easy to nullify him. Every time I got the ball, nullified. But I think he needs to actually maybe drop him for a bit, in my opinion.
Gordon, it's been, like I said earlier, this, I don't even know the point I'm trying to make by this. It's just the reality of Glasgow. If Rangers hadn't played last night, we'd still be wall-to-wall tonight in Celtic's so-called crisis. You know, it's just what happens. The news cycle moves and somebody else has got something to complain about, and last night was hugely important as well. But the rivalry bit, you can kind of laugh at each other, but nothing's changed for Celtic. Last night hasn't made that go away, and it just sets Sunday up to put extreme pressure on the loser, whoever it is. Because I know there always is. Everybody always says that. They're never bigger than any other. They're always huge games, and I get that. But seriously, the pressure on the loser this week,
incredible,
is going to be through the roof.
Yeah, because both sets of fans right now are certainly not happy. I'm split with this a little bit, Gordon. I totally agree with the fans that lack of signings, they wanted more signings in. They're saying that the board sort of gambled. Okay, I can take that on board. Of course I can. But I'm looking at a Celtic team that played this Almaty for over 200 odd minutes and couldn't score a goal. So Brendan Rodgers and everyone concerned with the football side of it has got to take responsibility as well. Doesn't matter what's going on in the boardroom and what's going on about signings. You've still got players at your disposal over 200 minutes. One of them being 90 plus at Celtic Park. You can't score a goal. Hardly laid a glove on them. I know they created one or two wee chances, and Maeda probably should have wrapped to tie up and put Celtic into Champions League, of course. But over the piece, I think you've got to look at on the pitch and off the pitch. So I'm sort of a split camp for me.
Is there maybe a case, though, to say that it's players in those key areas, though? So if you are playing a European game and you're playing a team that, let's be honest, you can get bogged down all you want in rankings and where they're from. We all watch football. We all understand it up to a point. They were fine. They were decent. They were okay at what they did, clearly. Is it just then that you, although Celtic should have had enough, they didn't have enough in those key areas, in those attacking areas? A player with a bit of X factor, a player with a bit of craft, dare you say it, a Kun, a Jota, a Kyogo, you know, glaring.
I take that on board, but let's go back to something here you're talking about, and the man that everybody's talking about up front, Adam Eder, right? Adam Eder last year went and played against Aston Villa Scotland, down there. Yeah. And by the way, Aston Villa were flying that year. They were brilliant. They really were. He bangs in two. That's not Aston Villa. You're playing over two legs, right? So as much as, yes, they're very short, because I never thought for 1 minute that Celtic would start with Forrest and Yang. Now, Forrest has won absolutely everything, but he's getting to that stage where he's probably an impact player that comes on and does you a job, because he's been absolutely brilliant for Celtic. Maeda through the middle. You look at their midfield, it's still very talented. Defensively, everybody was crying for Tierney to come back. Carter Vickers was in there. Schmeichel's in there. Yes, Alistair Johnston, obviously, but Ralston's an international, Scottish international footballer, no matter what you think of him, and he always does a good job for Celtic. I'm talking about over the piece of two games, Gordon. I think if you're Celtic, no matter the transfer situation, you've got to be disappointed not to score
maybe
against
them. Maybe we should bring in the guy who thought it was going to be, what was your prediction for the first leg again?
5-0.
I can't remember if it was 4 or 5. Listen, I'm half joking, because I think lots of people thought that they would score a couple at Celtic Park. How do you look back on it now?
Pretty much as Gordon's just described it. I think you seen last night, if it's a one-off game, anything can happen. You see Man U going out against Grimsby, anything can happen in a one-off game. You know, team doesn't turn up or whatever, but 210 minutes against this team and Celtic didn't even really look like scoring until extra time. It's not good enough. You can go on about recruitment all you want, manager not getting backed, all these different excuses. the team that goes onto the park in them two games should have been more than good enough to not even just beat Kaira, to beat them.
Is that the question? Are they? Because I would agree, but Yang, Forrest, Ida in their current form, and then with they're not the backup, they're the first option. Are they? You could say, well, they're not good enough to break down
that front three would get in Kairat's team.
Yeah, but see what you're talking about there. My big problem just now, I'm looking at the best player in Scotland last year, Maeda. He looks a shadow of the player that he is, Gordon. Now, we're looking at that happened Tuesday. That happened last night with Rangers. I'm sitting back and I'm thinking to myself, who's the most confident Rangers or Celtic fans getting into this game on Sunday? Because Celtic can't score against that team over 220 plus minutes. And Rangers last night were an absolute disaster. What a game we've got on our hands on Sunday.
I think the difference on Sunday is Rangers are going to have to come out, aren't they? They're going to have to give it a go. That then leaves a bit of space for Celtic.
Do you think they both would rather not be the home team on Sunday?
I would say so, yes.
Because of what's going to happen inside the stadium
You could see a level of protest. I don't know to what extent, but yeah. I think if it was at Celtic Park, there would
against
be
the board.
Proper board protests. And who knows what the Rangers fans are phoning in tonight, or anything to go by.
Yeah, and plus the fact you just wonder, I'm finding that now it's that situation where Rangers fans are saying, we had one on, I'm not going to go to the game. I've had enough. I'm not going to go to the game. So, yeah, I think if you don't get off to a good start on Sunday, if you're Rangers with that crowd behind you, you're going to have to be brave on the ball, I've got to say. I'll show if there's any characters inside that Rangers dressing room.
Let's thank Sean and bring in Tony, who's in Mount Vernon. How are you, Tony?
Not bad. How's the panel?
Yeah, good, thanks. What have you got for them?
Can you hear me okay, yeah?
Yeah, all good.
Yeah, just two quick questions. I think that the board have lost faith in Brendan Rodgers with a big money signing because the sort of more expensive players were on the bench last night and obviously from the start of the season. And I think Brendan Rodgers is quite lucky that Rangers' poor run of form has kept up deflected the heat from him, because their performances through this season excuse me, I've got a bit of a cold. Their performances through this season have been quite lucky as well. We've struggled to score goals. I don't think Maeda wants to beat Celtic. There's rumours that he's asking for transfers, and we don't have anybody that's obviously looking to come in as a recognised striker. So I don't think Celtic are going to have a really good sort of run of play the next sort of maybe up to Christmas next transfer window, because we've been too slow in the open market.
It's interesting that I think a lot of Celtic fans are looking as the split there between the manager and the board. Obviously, I think they want to show up in different windows. You know, Brendan wants to go a little bit higher. I think the board run their business the way they're running it, so they sometimes become that little bit of a split. Listen, it's very difficult to criticize. Brendan Rodgers has won a lot of trophies and titles, right, since he's come back to Scotland. He's been brilliant for Celtic. But in this occasion, he can't just go under the radar and just put everything towards the board and say, do you know what? Didn't get backed. Well, he had three players. It wasn't even the starting lineup in one of the most important games the Celtic spent over 20 million on, plus wages. Take that into consideration as well. I think they were left. I was very surprised that they've been left a bit short. Obviously, we couldn't go on Jota, get back to nobody's replaced Kyogo. I've heard that as well. So they're three big, big players for them. Would they have made a difference? Probably, because they're top quality players. But I still believe that Brendan's got to take a bit of responsibility, that if you play that team for 220 minutes, I'm sorry, I'd be expecting goals.
Yeah, but the thing is, you keep pointing that out, which I think is obviously relevant, but nobody's pretending, I don't think, there is only one thing. What's the most, if you had to pick one of them as being overriding the other, you going with the fact that the recruitment is not as bad as the performance the other night? Because who would have seriously thought that Nicholas Kuhn would be sold and no one would come in? And this is after Kyogo in January.
Listen, hold on a minute. Celtic fans were on here after Kuhn was getting sold and says, great bit of business, he only played for 6 months.
Yeah, but everybody knows it's only good business if you bring somebody else in.
Yeah, but look.
And it's at the same time as Jota's injured.
I said earlier, I'm splitting this. I can totally take on board Celtic fans who got along there, and everybody talks about it nowadays. Football's very expensive. Season tickets are very expensive. they pay their hard-earned cash, they deserve a lot better. Every fan does it in every club, let me say. So they feel let down a little bit. But I don't think that Brendan Rodgers and the team can escape criticism when you're up against a team that you should beat over two legs.
So you're still on the fence?
Yeah, 100. No, I'm not on the fence. I can see both sides of the argument.
See, I'm not at all. I'm very much the latter. I get the fact that they haven't replaced these players.
That's not a small thing, though. It's got, like, there's no
it's
way.
It's not a small thing. But at the end of the day, Gordon, that Celtic team should still have been way more than good enough to beat Kyrat Omati.
But that's in isolation over this tie, though. There's a wider picture here that this Celtic team is miles weaker in attack than it was last season. So forget Almaty for a second. What club in the world wants to get into the next season miles weaker in a key area than it was last season?
No, I get that. But will we pick one?
No, I know. If you're talking about, fair enough, this tie, that's fine. I get that. But that, I suppose this tie was the culmination of all the fears that the Celtic fans have had all summer. You know, they felt that it was a gamble. This was the bit that was going to tell whether it backfired or not. I mean, Tony, what there are tales of Celtic getting a couple of players in now in the next coming days. You're not too optimistic that you'll get enough?
The fans have turned on the board. The board has made roughly 26 million from players that they sold, like Frimpong and Doak, and they've only spent 3 million. Nigel has probably been Brendan Rodgers' best player that he's bought at Parkhead for a long time. He's three clear players that he bought. 26 million, I'm not getting a game. I don't think the board will get any trust in giving Brendan Rodgers an open checkbook. I think that's part of the reason why they thought if Celtic get through in the Champions League, they'll give them some of the money that they brought in, and that's backfired on both the club and the fans.
I get some of that, Gordon, but see at the same time, right, whatever you think, they're still the Celtic board. There is no way they can be enjoying the heat that is going on them just now, and the heat that will go on them even more if they lose on Sunday. So this notion that the gamble bit for the Champions League, fine, maybe they would have to answer that point, but there's no way. What would be the point, right, if you were the Celtic board, of saying right now, well, we've kind of lost faith in Brendan Rodgers, we don't really trust him with the money, so we just won't do anything. That
the reward was too big, Gordon, to gamble. The reward was too big. It's a case of, they couldn't get the signings in, the right signings. I think there's a divide between what Brendan Rodgers wants, and I'm not against that, because as a manager, you want the best player possible to take you to the next level, and Brendan Rodgers keeps talking about going to the next level, and he needs the better players to do that. And then you look at the board that run a football club and say, well, hold on a minute, we are not at that level to shop in that window. So there's a divide somewhere. But I don't think the board were sitting there going, right, keep our fingers crossed, look at the tie that we've got, surely we can get by that, then we'll spend money. The reward was too big. I don't believe that.
Okay, thank you, Tony. On the line, 01419511025. Keep the calls coming. We'll take more of them when we return.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
It's time for Gordon DL and Ross McCormick to join their massive football brains together. Almost said that with a straight face. Sling at you two. Try and join them together.
Yeah, go.
Team effort, the world's worst quizzing duo, and come up with the answer to this teaser as sent in by Frank in Rutherglen. Now, Frank fired up the email to fulltime@clyde1.com and came up with this full-time teaser. It's very topical for tonight. Can you name the last 8 players to play for Hibs and Aberdeen? I feel like we've had a few variations of this type of question to tie in with the European game, so it's quite a good one. Can you name the last 8
McGrath
players to play a game for Hibs and Aberdeen? Jamie McGrath, yes.
Hibs and Aberdeen.
Yes, that's right.
Come on. Gary Mackay and Stephen never did.
No, he didn't play for Hibs. I also think we covered this last week.
Ah, Gordon.
Who?
Scott Brown.
Yes. Well done, Scott Brown. Take one more guess if you want, or we can move on.
Any chance, Roscoe?
No, mate. I need a bit more time.
There's supposed to be twos in this.
Right, okay. Aberdeen are in action tonight, funnily enough, hence why we've asked. They kick off soon away to FCSB. It is poised 2-2 on aggregate. The team is out. This might not be lined up correctly. It's just a quick look. Mitov in goal, the back four of Jensen, Milne, Knoster and Devlin. Midfield three, Shinny, Palvara, Palaversa, Keskinen and Awichichi, supporting Esther Sockler in attack there for Aberdeen. So what do you think about them? Because they 2-2 last week, I think they were worth a draw, but at the same time they had 10 men for quite a while. Aberdeen defended in quite a calamitous fashion. Can you see them going away and pulling that off?
Listen, there's always a chance, but I watched the game. I thought they struggled 11-11, I'll be honest.
You watched it in Aberdeen, you were telling us?
Actually, yeah.
You took your homework very seriously.
I watched it. Don't get me wrong, it was an unbelievable atmosphere where I was watching it, but I thought they struggled 11-11. It could probably got a little bit worse for them, I think, if it would have stayed that way. Probably got a little bit lucky, down to 10 men. But in the end, probably look at it, they were probably unlucky in the end not to win the game.
We're really hoping one of the teams can produce a result tonight. Aberdeen are probably, are they in the best position? 2-2, a goal gives them such a boost, whereas Hibs have got to go over there and score at least 2-1. Look, never say never in football. We've seen shocks in the last couple of nights. Well, no shocks in the fact that last night we fancied Bruges, but not to win as comfortable as it did. We've seen Celtic on Tuesday night. We've seen... Ross is quite entitled to mention it. You've seen Grimsby beat Manchester United. So football could be a funny game sometimes, but I think it'll be a difficult night for both teams.
Just a side note, apparently Shaden Morris has been left out the squad because there was strong interest in him last night, and both parties agreed that it was just better to not be involved, the distraction and all that sort of stuff. He would have been a good one to come off the bench. You know what impact he can make. They've got options there on the bench. Leighton Clarkson, obviously, Milanovic on the bench there as well. The much maligned Cassini Yenge is on the bench. So a few options there for Jimmy Tilleen. He did have to take last week into account, though, didn't he? Palvara was excellent. He was like the inspiration for that last week. So hopefully another big performance from him.
Yeah, I thought it was excellent. I thought both goals that Aberdeen scored, I thought were very well worked. As I said there, though, I think when it goes to 10 men, Aberdeen with the possession, they didn't actually create lots and lots of chances. I felt as if they could probably push a little bit harder. But I think it's going to be a difficult night. I think, you know, Stoyer showed 11-11. They're a good outfit. They're a good, strong team. Well organised. Good attacking players. Good pace. I think it could be a long night, unfortunately.
I've got a degree of sympathy, Gordon, because very quickly this is the type of thing we could spend all week on. But there's been a lot because Celtic and Rangers, we then go into the state of Scottish football and we have this big debate and focus on, you know, kind of like the worst it's ever been. Well, see, to be fair, some of our clubs used to get proper humiliating European defeats off, you know, complete minnows. I think if you look at how well, up to a point, Hibs have done, even Dundee United. Look how much Dundee United pushed Rapid Vienna. You look at Hibs still in it, Aberdeen. Unfortunately, they are running into some pretty good teams. But when at some point is a team going to punch above their weight? That's really what we need, isn't it? Can Aberdeen be the Kaira Almaty? You know, can somebody just pull off that slight shock, get themselves to the group stage of the Europa League and really try and kick on from there? It feels like that's just the next bit that we're missing.
Yeah,
I don't think anyone's been humiliated or anything like that, but we need the next step.
Well, Rangers were last night.
I mean the other teams.
Yeah, somebody needs to step out from the darkness and punch above their weight, as you say, Gordon. Unfortunately, I don't think it's got to be this year. But obviously teams like Hibs under David Gray, new manager, obviously never managed in this capacity before. They'll learn from it. They'll learn from the experience. Hibs are building. I like the look of Hibs. Aberdeen haven't got off to the greatest start in the league. Okay, they've had a few difficult games. It could be a big night for them. They've got good experience. They've got guys that can score goals. But on Morosco, I just think it's a little bit too much of an
step
ask.
Step out from the darkness, he says. Yeah. I like that.
Surely even if Aberdeen do go out, they go into the...
Yeah, the conference.
They can have a little bit of a go at that with the money that they've spent. And
Listen, perhaps, you know. But it would just be nice to have a real shot in the arm to properly go and kick on to that next bracket in the Europa League. But we'll see. Maybe they are better suited in the Conference League currently as well. There's that old one, same that we apply to Celtic and Rangers. Maybe they can pick up more coefficient points if MD cares really about that stuff in the Europa League. Let's actually hear a bit from Russell Martin. We've not done that so far, believe it or not. We've been so busy with the calls. Let's go basically him and his job prospects, because there's been a lot of speculation. What do they have to say?
Well, I don't think we get beat 6-0 again. So in terms of if what was to continue, we qualified for the Europa League with really difficult circumstances. So tonight was going to be tough. Completely agree that the manner of defeat is not acceptable and really hurtful. But I have no other choice but to keep working and to keep focusing on what's going to help us moving forward. And the weight of it all at the moment is heavy on the group, and we have to try and take that off them and free them up for Sunday. But yeah, it doesn't change the fact that I think we can get this place going, we can get the team going, and as I said, progress and move forward and grow. And as I said, whenever it's got to that point before, maybe there's been changes, and I don't think the club's changed too much, or performances haven't improved that much or changed too much.
Let's bring in Graham, who's in Port Glasgow. What do you make of some of the stuff the manager's been saying in the last day or so, Graham?
Hi, good evening, panel. First of all, I was deluded with these comments on the Saturday's Daily Express, the back page, saying St Mirren's game, the Bruges game, and the Old Firm game weren't relevant games of football. I'm a Rangers fan, and that shocked me. It was his post-interview last night as well. I feel as if he's lost control of the dressing room. And he's not for taking any blame at all. I think it's as if he's wanting to go to the transfer window and create a new team. Am I wrong, panel?
What do you make of that? By the way, if you're watching the YouTube, we've got our head in our hands, because Aberdeen have missed an absolute sitter inside the first minute. Esther Sockler, there's a rebound, he has to score. That would have made such a difference. But it's a strong start by Aberdeen. Gordon, I've heard this quite a bit today. I wonder if you think it's fair. Graham says Russell Martin not taking any responsibility himself.
I don't know about that, Gordon. He was, like, what can you say after last night? He comes out, he apologises to the fans. Obviously, the fans are not interested in apology. They want action on the pitch, rightly so. Where I thought that Russell Martin was going to be different, see, after the Motherwell game, I quite liked the freshness of coming out and saying, do you know what? I'm going to call it as it is. One or two were below it today. I'm not happy with the situation. And what happened was we all sat back and waited to see if he got a response. And he got a response. But since then, some of the stuff like Harmony and he's been harping on about the team's got to look different and be better when the transfer window closes, by the time we bring in players. He's got 10 players, 11 players in the bill. He had 8 players, his own players out last night. It's not just him as well. I totally agree. I think an early caller says it. There's more to this. Russell Martin, to me, looks like Rangers' job is too big for him, Gordon.
We'll just see that part of it then, the communications part. Do you think that's where it is? Hard, because look, he's clearly he's a good talker, he's articulate, he's very open, he's very honest. The intensity of the job here, you do multiple interviews a week. You're right, most people thought Motherwell was refreshing, but you've then done that, so yeah, you can't necessarily do it again. And then the next time there's a setback, you quite often will speak about, you know, it's nothing to do with tactics, it's just we're not responding to adversity well, you know, we panic, maybe it's a psychological thing, that's something we've worked on. But then there's another setback, so you've done that bit, and now it's Harmony, and that's been said a couple of times, and now that's done. So maybe he's right, and maybe once the transfer window closes, he gets good results, but the problem is, the bad results keep happening, so he keeps being asking to explain them, and none of the explanations are satisfying the Rangers fans.
Oh, they're certainly not satisfying the Rangers fans. The Rangers fans want him out, and they want him out now. And it's going to be interesting to see what he's got to say to the lead-up to this game. I do agree with you. I think he comes out, he handles himself well, he talks well, but it's what he says, it's what's irritating the Rangers fans. I've got to say, they're not buying into it, and that's a problem.
But the thing is, Gordon, he comes out after a Motherwell game and he singles out, you know, what was it, two or three players. So everyone's waiting to see, right, okay, let's see what players come out of the team the next game and we'll see exactly who he's talking about. But then the problem is, he goes back to them players and puts them in the team and then takes them back out of the team again. So the players are...
Well, I think the two, that it's now just glaring, it is Raskin and Tavernier, isn't it, that are the sort of victims of his desire to change the team. Do you know what I mean? They would be the obvious ones.
Well, I thought also a big call last night, a guy that's played in a lot of these games, Diamandi, right?
But again, he's not been very good this season, has he?
That. I don't think any of them have been very good.
And you've signed, you've signed Telo Asgard, you've signed Lyle Cameron. I don't think that one's that controversial.
Telo Asgard, he's scored two goals for Luton. Fine, Rangers are hanging their
hat. But what I mean is, that's a different issue. They've signed him, they believe in him, they believe he can take the team onto the next level or whatever. You know, he's entitled to use his own players up to a point, but the two that are glaring is because Rangers fans say Rothwell and Aarons are struggling.
See my point there about Diamandi, and I agree with you, I don't think he set the heather on fire, but I think looking at that game in isolation last night, experience was gold for him. Diamandi's played in these games in Europe. Raskin's played in these games. Tavernier's your captain's played in these games many times. I think you had to get, and I like Lyle Cameron, but Lyle Cameron last night just looked like, you know, that was a stage at this point in his career too big for him. Right, Rothwell, can he get about the park?
Hard to judge him though last night, isn't it, when you're down to 10 men and against
the good team. I like the boy. I think he gives all. I think he'll be a real good signing for Rangers. But I just looked, Asgard last night, he was one that I was talking about. I watched his desire to run back. And if I was the Rangers manager and I was sitting watching that, I would have been disappointed.
Oh, I keep seeing replays of that Aberdeen chance. Honestly, it's not the type of sitter that's going to make like your YouTube compilation of football's worst moments. But he's just got to score it, Ross. I mean, the rebound falls to him. It's a bit more of a reactionary one. You know, he has to react quick and he's so close that it ends up going at the keeper. So like I say, it's not like the worst thing you'll ever see, but it's just got to be so much better.
Yeah, he's got to lift it, hasn't he? The goalkeeper's already on the floor. He's just got to put it high in it, and it's 1-0 to Aberdeen, and what a start it would be. But that's where it's been. I think Aberdeen have looked comfortable far.
Let's hope it's a sign of things to come rather than a moment that'll come back to haunt them. Let's thank Graham and see what Ronnie has to say. What's your take on all this, Ronnie?
How you doing, panel? I'd like to speak about the Rangers game last night.
You go for it.
Absolutely atrocious. Now, that Russell Martin humiliated and embarrassed millions and millions of Rangers fans all over the world. Now, it was 6-0 going on. The result could have been whatever Bruce wanted it to be. It was embarrassing. There was not one, apart from Butland, done his bit, but apart from the rest, Butland, none of the rest of them done it. It was atrocious. And Martin has got to go ASAP.
It doesn't look like he's going to, Ronnie. You certain that's a mistake to keep him? Is there any part of you that thinks he might turn this round? Because it's so early.
Three games. To be honest with you, we should have been out two rounds ago against Panathinaikos. We were lucky to get away with that. We rode our luck in that game big time. Three league, one each season against Indies and Man and Motherwell. It's shocking. It's no good. We're not even in the top six.
I think the last thing Russell Martin needs is for us to be taking away some of his good results, because there's not enough there at the moment. But you actually get where Ronnie's coming from. It's mad to think that if a couple of key moments in the Panathinaikos game had gone a different way, I don't know what sort of position we'd be in here. But then that's completely hypothetical, because he might point and say that, you know, maybe a moment goes his way in the Dundee game or something. But this is all because we're forgetting a little bit about the league form, aren't we? That's playing a big part here, surely.
We could have lost the three of them as well.
Yeah. We all had the feeling in the panel and studio, and I think most pundits in here, Gordon, had the feeling, and so did the supporters, that when Russell Martin was appointed, the one thing he had to do domestically, because nobody really fancied the Champions League, right, because of what the Rangers were going through. Domestically, he had to hit the ground running. And he's not done that. And even you look at Alloa going to Ibrox and scoring two goals and causing Rangers all sorts of problems as well. I know you can talk about, oh, he made so many changes. You're still a Rangers player. Come on, you should be able to play against Alloa and not being disrespectful. The start of his campaign and his reign, and I said tonight in the show at 6 o'clock, I wonder how many calls we'll get of anybody coming on here and backing him. So far, none.
I don't really know how much is in this because actually Rangers' best performer maybe this season has been the goalkeeper. But I saw they're linked with the Leeds goalie. Come on, Mr. Leeds. What are you saying?
What, Melee?
Mm-hmm.
God, I don't really want. I'll put my neck on the line. He's not better than Jack Butland. He made, you know, he get put out the team at Leeds last season in the Championship. He's not started this season. There's probably a reason why Leeds are looking to offload him. The only thing is, Rangers might get him quite cheap because they're owned by the same club.
Maybe he's got to try a new formation. Put two goalies in.
We'll see. Anyway,
see if we can stop the goals getting back.
We will return. In fact, quickly on the teaser, the last eight players to play for Hibs and Aberdeen: McGrath, Brown.
I've got a few. One that I'm not sure about is the right back, Devlin.
No, he played Livingston. Did he always play with him?
Nicky Devlin.
Yes.
No.
Right. You've got Nisbet. Kevin Nisbet.
All right. Yeah, Kevin Nisbet.
Dylan McKeoch.
Well done. The score is still level over there in Bucharest. Goalless after 10 minutes. We'll return. We'll build up to Hibs and more of your calls as well.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One's Super Scoreboard.
The Pundit Predictor with McNair's Building Supplies. Try McNair's for your next building, roofing or gardening project.
Right, do you think you know your football better than our pundits? I think the answer to that is going to be yes. For a lot of people out there, you've got the chance to prove it, or at least your predicting skills, because the Pundit Predictor is back. Simply guess the outcome of three SPFL games and you could win cash. What is not to like? Last week, Derek was only able to manage two out of the three, so that means we add another £100 to the pot. So listen tomorrow when there is now £200 to be won. So every Friday night, Clyde One Super Scoreboard, play the Pundit Predictor thanks to McNair's Building Supplies. Looking forward to that. FCSB nil, Aberdeen nil, 16 minutes gone. Aberdeen are doing okay, would we agree?
I think they're doing excellent. They've created the best chances, especially that one early on where you think, are they going to get too many of those tonight? And you've got to really take them if you're seriously thinking of going through. But I think if you're Aberdeen involved with, as a supporter going over there, you will be delighted with the start they've made.
Should be a edge, shouldn't they? Yeah, that was a great chance. But even since then, they've been in the ascendancy. Yes, that guy's had an unbelievable effort there, just past the upright. But I think they'll be feeling confident, comfortable, happy with their start.
Right, so on this teaser, can you name the last eight players who've played a game? That's a crucial detail, by the way. Played a game for...
Like,
it doesn't make much difference to you two, Hibs and Aberdeen. So you've got Jamie McGrath, Kevin Nisbet, Dylan McGeoch and Scott Brown so far.
Kimberry.
Yes, well done.
Junior Hoyle.
Yeah.
Game the Stephen Glass one I gave you.
I don't think he is, because he managed them. I don't know if he played with him, did he?
He did play with Hibs and Aberdeen.
Stephen Glass is not on it.
Told you never. You're hopeless. What about Fraser Fye?
Fye, no. Just not in the last... I don't quite know how Frank's worked out the...
Was Mixhouse Palline too far back?
Surely, yeah, way too far back.
Okay,
we'll leave it there. You've got two to get. There's one that I feel
we won't get.
No, well, yeah, but I feel guilty because
is Cad any of the Caddins?
I feel like you nearly got it.
Is any Caddins?
That's all I'm saying to you.
Any Caddins?
What was my answer? My answer, and you asked his first name, didn't you?
So he's sharper than people give him credit for. This guy.
What was your answer?
He's sharper than people think.
The right back.
Devlin.
Yes.
So it's
give me another Devlin.
Oh, Big Devlin, the centre.
Oh,
half.
Big Devlin,
the centre half. I think he played with Hamilton. Nick. No.
Nicky's who he said.
No, what's he? He played with. He played with Hamilton, didn't he?
He did.
He went Hamilton.
And Ayr and Fleetwood and Livingston and
Devlin. A B C D.
Oh, for goodness sake! From the same part of the world as you.
I know. As well. I know him. I can see him. I was talking to him.
You were not talking to him.
When were you talking to him?
No, wasn't he? I made that up. Right. I did make that up. That was one of my lies.
Did we not? No, you might be right. Did Did we not meet him and his dad or something?
Yeah. Oh, crap.
Right, get back to me. I'm not sitting listening to you go through the alphabet.
Yeah.
I know this show has produced some really bad radio moments over the years, but that could be the worst, especially when you will end up getting it wrong. So let's pause for a minute. You can get back to me. The Hibs team for tonight is Jordan Smith in goal. Need him to do it better than he did in the
Mickey
previous...
Devlin.
Mikey, I can
Mikey Devlin, yeah. Yes. I went through that.
Where did you meet him?
I didn't, I just made that up.
Right, we'll leave it there. One to get Hibs team here. You know, maybe something different from David Gray. Let's assume it's still a back three, right? So Smith and goal. If it is a back three, it's O'Hara, Bashiri and Obita moving into the back three with the Cadens as wing backs, Levitt, Mulligan and McGrath in midfield, Boyle off Kieran Bowie in attack. Either that or going to some sort of back four. But yeah, if that is the case, it's maybe quite more, a bit more attacking, because Obita would be...
If the Cadens are on the either flanks, Gordon, it's a 3-5-2, isn't it?
Yeah, but Obita's playing as well.
I think Cadden couldn't play one forward on the left.
It's possible. Anyway,
but it's certainly two up top, so they're going for it. Yeah,
it's a decent Hibs team, isn't it? They were probably a bit disappointing last week, judging on their, because they've been pretty good in Europe, haven't they? Again, the 2-1 down, that late goal from Mulligan gives them a chance. How do you rate that chance, though?
Slim, but I think because of the form of the two lads up front, Bowie and Boyle, and the pace and the threat that they bring to the team, if you can get the right deliveries, and the Cadens have certainly got good deliveries, then you're always in with a chance, but you've got to defend tonight. You've really got to shut the back door up. You've got to be really strong defence.
Martin Boyle's already showed us this season, hasn't he? What he can do away from home in Europe. So they'll need a big performance off him. I think it'll be important for Bowie tonight to get hold of the ball and let the midfielders get up there, because I feel as if they could be doing a bit of defending in the tie. But why not? You said it earlier, Gordon. Who's going to be our Kaira Almaty? Why not Hibs?
Absolutely. They've shown what they can do away from home. It's a great take from Mitov there to take the pressure off his back line as the corner came in. We're midway through the first half, then he'd gone and thrown it straight.
Yeah,
to,
I'm not too sure about the throw.
That's assault.
But yeah, it's going to be a booking, I think, for Jensen. Midway through the first half, goalless Aberdeen doing okay. But just have to be careful at the back and try and create those chances when they do come around, like the Sockler one very early on. Speaking of Hibs, surely you've got a new favourite owner in the league. Who's your favourite owner out of all the owners? Or you've not been across this?
No, I haven't.
Ian Gordon of Hibs.
He's a new owner?
No, but he's your new favourite owner.
Why?
Got to be.
Why?
Went to the fan zone in Warsaw and stuck 30 grand behind the bar for the fans.
No, did he? Ah, you've got to applaud him for that.
You were buzzing when Cyril Dessers gave somebody a 15 quid hairccut.
Cut.
This guy's put 30 grand behind the bar.
But it's probably Hibs' money, it's not his
still
own. Ah, that's good.
Seriously.
That's good PR, isn't it? That's showing the fans that you appreciate.
That you care.
Yeah.
About beer.
No, you care that they've come over and supported you, and they're spending a lot of hard-earned cash, and you want to reward them and say, look, thanks very much. I love that. I think that is
absolutely
brilliant.
He did that in Leeds
brilliant.
One night.
Did you?
Probably.
Mate, I've been out with him. He wouldn't have put a fiver behind the bar.
Title and cramp.
Oh.
You happy with that gesture from Ian Gordon?
Unbelievable. Yeah, I'd like to know what the player's win bonus is if he's putting 30 grand behind the bar.
It was 30 grand. It's now not. He's removed it and they don't know anything about it. Anyway, we digress. Let's round off the teaser before we go. Thank you again to Frank and Rutherglen, and the nightly reminder that we want you to get involved in the full-time teaser. That's the whole point of it. You come up with the question. So the address you need is fulltime@clyde1.com. Can you name the last 8 players who've played a game for Hibs and Aberdeen? Jamie McGrath, currently at Hibs, of course, playing tonight. Junior Hoylett, Kevin Nisbet, Mikey Devlin, Dylan McGeoch, Scott Brown, Flo Camberry. This one is...
Are we a good one to get?
Tricky.
Well, need clues, Gordon.
I'm going to say tricky.
Did he play with any other club?
Yes, that is key to the question, actually.
One of the big clubs?
I don't want to offend people from...
Where?
Ayrshire, but I think...
Kilmarnock?
Yeah. I think
okay. Think
of him mostly as a Kilmarnock player. I think that's how you'll get this.
Brophy never... No.
No, I'm afraid that's a bad guess.
Was it a
stage.
Bad
yeah,
guess?
Need a clue, I
it's
think,
not brilliant.
They?
Yeah, need a clue of a position.
Kilmarnock winger.
Oh.
Oh yeah, I've got him. I've got him, left winger.
Okay. I need a name.
Does he wear the cast, plays in
Romania? That's Danny Armstrong.
No, the other one. ABCD.
Oh, stop.
Kennedy.
There we go. Well done. You were in Cardiff with him, were you? Am I way off time frame wise? No, nothing at all. What year were you at Cardiff?
2008 or 9, I think.
Oh jeez, I'm about 6 years out. Never mind. Anyway, thank you Ross McCormick and Gordon Dalziel. Still goalless for Aberdeen. Hopefully they can do the business. Hibs getting underway in 5 minutes. Good luck to them as well. Need to do better than Glasgow's big two over the last few days. We're back tomorrow. We will hear from Brendan Rodgers, Russell Martin and Hugh Keevans. Have a good night.